You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. If you heard yesterday's episode, you will know that you need to hit the link in our description and pre-order your copy of NBA 2K25. Not only do you get the game, you get bonus things that will be in the game for you, and you also get 12 months free of NBA League Pass. And if you listen to this podcast, I'm guessing you love watching NBA, so you may as well get a free NBA League Pass, save yourself the $200 or whatever it may cost, and get one for free and support the show by hitting the link in our description. It's myself, Mo, and here alongside me, as always, the man who now wants to be on the board that decides player ratings at NBA 2K, Mr. BJ Armstrong.
No, I'm going to be on. The call has already been made, so I'm going to be on. I'm in.
Okay. And the GM extraordinaire, who in NBA 2K, you have the My GM mode where you can be the NBA franchise's GM, and we're going to put that to the test this season. But we got a real-life GM in Mr. Scott Perry. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mo. Hey, I got to bring something up, though, before we get started on this top 10 list.
Okay.
I wake up this morning and, go to my Instagram, and I see some highlights from Springfield, Massachusetts. One individual, where in the world I have played basketball? This is Mo Muncy. I find out, and they show him travel around, but he's landed in Springfield at the Hall of Fame. And Jay, I'm watching Mo, and he's backing people down in the video.
Oh yeah,
shooting off the glass, off the window.
I'm old school with it. Telling you.
I said, so you know what? Is he an undersized Adrian Dantley, Mark Aguirre? Is that what he's trying to tell us? You know, he did take people to the post.
You know the kid Scott used to play for the Memphis Grizzlies, Roddy.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
David Roddy.
That's Mo. That's Mo.
Should I tell you
my? The NBA.
Should I tell you who I think of? How I play? I think of Glenn Big Baby Davis. I think of Boris Diaw. I think of Penny Lofton Jr. Those are the kind of people I could be compared to now. In my prime, I was looking guys up on the perimeter. I was on a Marcus Smart type build, but now I'm an old head. I'm slow now. I'm gonna take you down to the block. And BJ, you say one of your favorite quotes is George Gervin having a shot for every occasion.
Yeah, you gotta have a shot.
I got a counter for everything the defense can throw at me.
I'm playing chess down there.
Mo was telling the guy he's playing against, he said, the bank is open all the time when you play against me, even on the weekends.
7 days a week.
Exactly.
7 days a week.
Scott. About a year ago, we made a deal that Mo was going to play and get ready for the celebrity game at All-Star Weekend. And Mo guaranteed us he was going to get 30.
Okay.
And we still wait.
I'll see you in San Francisco in February.
Okay. That's okay.
You get me in the game and I'm a deliver.
Okay. Wait a minute. Hey, you're a celebrity. You're everywhere. You know?
Exactly.
I'll make the call to Adam Silver. I have to make the call, but I'm ready. As long as you're ready for 10 of those points to be from hook shots, 10 of them to be from fadeaways, and the other 10 from the free throw line, we ready for it.
Okay.
Like I said the other day, ain't no one know how to guard the post no more. That's the hidden treasure. Now. Everyone's worried about stopping threes. I ain't worried about shooting threes.
Yeah.
But speaking of excellent basketball players, if I do say so myself, we have the top 10 players ranked by NBA
2K25. Oh, wow.
Okay. Now, I'm going to read out the top 10 and then we're going to dive into it. But I'm just going to read it out. And yesterday, you both told me that Victor Wembanyama and Jaylen Brown deserve to be in the top 10. So I'm going to give you the 10 names, and you're going to tell me which two shouldn't be in the top 10. Are you ready?
Now, let me correct you on that. Like I said, I'm telling you that Victor Wembanyama is going to be there one day. He's top five.
BJ's got to find a name in that top five.
He's got to win a little more for me. He's going to be there. So for me, Jaylen Brown would be the one from that list yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that you got to try to find a home. Well, but anyway,
here we go.
Let's go.
And number 10, Anthony Davis is rated a 94 overall. Also a 94 overall at number 9 is Kevin Durant. And number 8, we've got the cover star, Jason Tatum. He's a 95 overall, as is Stephen Curry, who's number 7, LeBron James, who's number 6. And now we get to the top 5. And it's pretty interesting because it's an all-international top 5. And number 5 is Joel Embiid, who's a 96 overall. And number 4 is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's a 96 overall. At 3, actually, let's do it this way. BJ, can you guess the order of the top 3? You know who the players are. They're top 3 international superstars. Can you guess the order of these three guys? You got
Giannis, Jokic, Joker.
Yeah, Luka.
No, Giannis,
you said Joker
Luka,
twice,
Joker,
but you meant Luka.
Joker twice.
Yeah.
Giannis, Luka, and Joker.
Giannis, Luka, and Joker.
So if you had to rank Giannis, the Joker, and Luka Doncic in order, overall, who's getting that number one spot? Give me them in the order.
Based on last year, that's the order. I would have it just how it is. Based on last year.
So the way 2K have it is Giannis at 3, 97 overall.
Yes.
Luka at 2, and Jokic at 1. All three of them 97
that's what,
overall.
That's how I would have it right now. Yeah.
You agree with that, Scott?
I agree with that. And Shai was at 4, correct?
That's right.
Yeah.
It's interesting because, you know, BJ, you are one of Giannis's biggest fans in the world. Yeah. And I feel like him being absent from the playoffs these past 2 seasons has kind of got him flying under the radar a little bit now.
Let me step back from last year. And, you know, I love Giannis. I might have Shai 3, Giannis 4.
Ooh.
Just on availability.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the importance of that. Mm-hmm. And I thought Shai was excellent. And, you know, and you guys have heard me say here that he's my early favorite going into next year for MVP. So I might switch those two. Just based on last season and availability and the accomplishments of their team, you know, I just thought that, man, Shai was phenomenal last year and had the best team in the Western Conference. Can score at will. Especially when you're talking about playing a game, like, and obviously, you know, Giannis can score himself, but I think Shai is probably the more prolific scorer. And, you know, Giannis can be the more impactful defender. He's taller, longer, but, you know, Shea's not bad himself, so.
Absolutely. BJ, I want to know, though, which two names which name in that top 5 is being replaced by Victor Wembanyama? Embiid, Shai, Giannis, Luka, Jokic.
Embiid
gets out of top 5.
Just on availability.
Okay.
Just on availability. You have to be available. If Joel is healthy, he is perhaps, right? You could make an argument, the most dominant player, unstoppable player in the entire NBA. But you got to be available to do it. Mm-hmm. This isn't about talent. This isn't about you have to be available. When JoJo is available, no questions. Unfortunately, he hasn't been available. And listen, we all want to see him. Well, I can't say we all. Everyone except Mo, because Mo says that he flops all the time, right?
I want to see him healthy.
Rest of us, I want to see him out here playing because he is he's just a dominant force. You can't stop him. Mm-hmm. So, but because of that, I gotta put Wembanyama there. Wembanyama is just, he's there. He's in my top 5.
Okay, and then Scott, which player is coming out of the top 10 to make space for Jaylen Brown? That's a tough question.
No, it's a very tough question in the back end of the 5. And look, I've got a tremendous amount of respect for Anthony Davis. And he played a lot last season. But still, what Jaylen Brown accomplished, I might, you know, have Brown at 10 and Davis at 11.
Mm-hmm.
Based on last season.
Well, let me ask you a question then about real life. Because Anthony Davis did play a lot of games last season. But mm-hmm. previously, he's had a number of injury worries. As a general manager, right, say you were the GM of the Lakers and his contract's expired and you're looking to give him the max contract or whatever it might be, how far back do you go when it comes to injury history? Because, for example, like Stephen Curry was injured a lot throughout the start of his career, and then he became readily available. So when you look at a player like Anthony Davis, he's just shown you that he can play almost the entire season and the playoffs. But in previous years, he hasn't shown that. How would you evaluate that as a GM?
First of all, you're going to look at the guy's current age. Okay, whatever he is. What is Anthony Davis now? You're saying he's...
You got to be in his 30s now, right?
30. Is he about 30?
Yeah, he's 31.
31. Okay. So you look at the last 3 to 4 years for sure. Now, yeah, to your point, this was a great year for him in terms of available games that he could play, you know, that he was healthy. But still part of his recent history out of years, the couple of years prior to that too. So there's a concern. I don't care what anybody says. When you look at him, look, nobody's questioning his talent. He has max talent ability. I'm not questioning that. I don't think anybody in basketball would. However, like I said, but you asked me as a GM, that is the biggest question that you're going to want to protect yourself, because as he gets older, he's not, in my opinion, he's not going to start running off string of games that he's going to be available 75 games every year to 82 games. I just don't see that. I haven't seen a lot of that. Steph, you mentioned Steph Curry. He had that early in his career. He was having trouble with his ankles. And that probably, you know, lasted with him till he was around, I don't know, 26 years old. Was it?
Yeah, like 2015, he started getting healthy before that run.
And so now he's been on a 9-year run where he's been one of the more healthier players in the league. He doesn't miss a lot of time. So in Anthony Davis's career, we really haven't seen a string at any point of his career that he's run 3-4 seasons where he's played close to 82 games in a row. So that's definitely going to be a concern. And not just him, we talked about Joel Embiid. I mean, look, you figure out that because they're so talented, you figure out a way to keep them. But as they get up there in age, you're going to start seeing teams, you know, either put more language in their contracts. You know, Joel Embiid's first big contract had a lot of stipulations and language in it in terms of games played to be able to, you know, in terms of guaranteeing money in his contract. And so that will be, you know, a concern. It has to be. If you're going to be financially prudent in putting a team together, that has to be taken into account, because you've heard the saying many a times, the number one ability is availability. I don't care what the guys, you know, can do or has done, his potential and all those kind of things. Is he going to be available to play enough games to impact your ball club in terms of wins and losses and put you in a position to compete deep into the playoffs, if not get to a championship? So, I am big on that, have always been big on that. And that's one of the more important things for me as an executive, is what that guy's longevity, what he has shown in that department. And then obviously it's a projection moving forward, because anybody can, you know, get hurt moving forward. But past history plays a big role in that department for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, Scott, as a GM, let me ask you a fun question. Can you guess what BJ Armstrong's rating is in NBA 2K? They have all the historic teams. So he's got a rating out of 100.
Out of 100. Oh, I'm going to say that they had BJ at about an 87 or 6.
See, this is how I know you secretly be playing the game. Because BJ Armstrong is, in fact, 87 overall on the all-time Bulls team, according to this website I'm looking at. BJ, would you like to know some of the current players who are ranked 87 overall?
Sure.
So this
sure.
is exactly. This is if we were to put you in a time machine and bring the best version of you from your career to today, this is who you would be compared to.
Okay.
Jamal Murray. DeMar DeRozan. Drew Holiday. LaMelo Ball.
Stop right there. Stop. I'll just take those three. I didn't hear the fourth guy either. That's pretty good.
That's your rating on the all-time Chicago Bulls team. So that's like the best ever, each player from their best ever season. On the 1992-93 Bulls, you are a 79 overall. That was still quite early in your career. But if I had to ask you, which year do you think was the best year of your career, personally? Which year would you say?
I honestly don't know.
In terms of team success, in terms of your abilities, when do you feel like you're at the peak of your powers?
I don't know. I never had like a stretch where my role was defined. Like when I say defined, it was like, okay, some years I had to come off the bench. Some years I was a facilitator. Some years, I don't know. I really don't know.
Can I answer that, Mo?
See, go ahead.
My friend is being, you know. See, I know what.
I know the answer too.
Hey. The year that MJ decided to go play baseball.
Yep, 94.
And what that was, and I know BJ and the rest of his teammates did not want to see MJ leave, but once he decided to leave,
there was a lot of shots.
I know this man. The first thing that went in this man's mind was, there's more shots available now. So Ray Jack, I'm willing to bet that was his best year. Yep.
Statistically, he made the All-Star team.
And he made the All-Star team,
shot
too.
44% from downtown that year.
Exactly.
86% of his free throws. He was averaging a steal a game, 4 assists to go with it, 15 points.
I had a little inside information on that one. I've known him all his life. So I just know there's a line that we always used to say coming up. Minutes plus shots equals players. That's what happened
I want to say it was an unexpected role that I didn't expect that role. See, I didn't trade in the Summer Bowl knowing that I was going to have those shots available to me.
What's the one thing you say every day when I ask you if you're ready for the show? What's the one thing you say when I say you're ready?
I stay ready, so I never have to get ready. But Bo, I was ready for the vote, though. Hey, Bo, I was ready just in case. But
okay, let's see if you're ready for this, though. Seeing as you want to be involved with the rankings, I want from you your list of top 10 players, the BJ Armstrong top 10 in order from 10 to 1. Or you could start at 1 and go to 10 if you want, if that's easier.
Okay, right now, just on basketball, right? Just
going
just
into this season, going into yeah, this
coming
season,
in. Yeah, just coming in on this season, right? Yeah. Not my. My personal list, just on based on the integrity of the game, right? The integrity.
Yeah, yeah. If
game.
You're starting a new franchise and you could bring in any players you want, who's the top 10? You know what I mean?
Were you going to try to win a championship
this season? Because you said you're not doing a franchise.
If you said starting a franchise, then you know
know that's a different question.
Then you go in for you. But no. Yeah. Like you're trying to win a championship this season. That's what this is about. You want to win, so you want the best players.
Okay.
Yeah. If I'm trying to start and win a championship. Okay. You know who my first guy would be? It's Victor. That'd be my
number
first
one.
Guy. Yeah, you said if I'm trying to
win a championship this year.
Maybe I heard you wrong. It was two different questions here, right, Scott? Did I hear two different questions?
I heard it the way you heard it first, but he clarified it by saying winning the championship this year. So basically year. Just yeah, building
yeah.
a team for
this. Yeah, it doesn't matter about next year, it's just this year right now.
Okay, yeah. I'm going Victor. I'm going Victor. I'm building based on, you know, if I'm trying to build a championship, because I know how the style that I want to play. The second player, okay, and my teams will always be built around defense, right?
So is that Victor number one or number 10?
Victor's number one.
Okay, okay.
The second player is Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number two, I'm trying to win a championship.
Yeah.
Okay. Number three is going to be the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, I got to put the big fella in Embiid. I take that back. Number four, I'm going to put Shea.
Yeah. You got to factor who's still going to be healthy by the time the playoffs come around.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to put Shea. Four. Number five, I got to go with the big fella. That's just a talent. I got to, if all works well, I know I got a player who could play in that game. Number five. Okay. Number six, I'm going to go Luka.
Mm-hmm.
Seven, I'm going to go Tatum. Eight, I'm going to go Ant-Man at eight.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay.
Big.
Nine. This year, nine. Ooh, 9 and 10 is gonna be tough.
Yep, there's three names that are quite high up the top 10. The older players. You got Luke.
Ten, I'm going Jaylen Brown for sure.
Okay.
So ten, nine. I'm going Jaylen Brown.
So you can choose between Steph, KD, and LeBron for number nine. Or anyone else.
I'm gonna go KD.
So I already know when we put this clip on Instagram, they're gonna be mad that you didn't put LeBron in your top 10. Can you explain why?
Well, at his age right now, like I don't think that's fair to LeBron right now to be able to say at 40 years of age, I'm gonna ask him to carry me 82 games.
If you could go straight to the playoffs, the list would be different.
There you go. LeBron plays in the Olympics. He can do it for short stretches. He just can't do it 82 plus 16 anymore. That's not fair to him. That's not a fair assessment. You're saying right now, I can't ask LeBron James without me managing his minutes to get him through an 82-game schedule to play significant minutes, meaning he's got to play 30 to 35 minutes. By the way, we got to practice. And then carry my team to 16 wins. No, that's not at this stage of his career. Now, mm-hmm. Can he show flashes? Absolutely. Just like he showed in the Olympics. And he can do it in stretches. If you just said, LeBron, you take off, like Scott just said, into the playoffs, then that's a different category. That's a different discussion. That's not fair to him at this stage of his career.
Mm-hmm.
And out of respect to what he has done in his career, because clearly when he was at that age, which he extended it well beyond just a traditional stretch for most, he could do that. I can't do that to him. That's not fair to him right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that. And if you're putting together a team, you have to take that into consideration with where he's at in his career. That's just what it is right now. And if you didn't do that, then to me, that's being irresponsible to think that I can play him 35 minutes at this stage of his career. And then no, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So you might get pushback, which is fine.
Yeah.
But the truth of it is, that's where it's at. That's mm-hmm. what it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what it is. So that was my reasoning for that. And then Otherwise, I think that's a good list. The only other guy that I was considered on that list is, you know, before, you know, when he was suspended and all that, I thought Ja Morant was really coming in.
I thought about this the other day. What if I said I think Ja can go for MVP this year?
It is possible. Look, I mean, if he's healthy and he plays 80 games this year, his talent will put him in the conversation.
Because I think
it's just going to be interesting to see him get his timing, his rhythm back. How long does it take that to happen?
Right. He's basically had a good year and a half.
The expectations of, like, you're expecting Shai to do what he does. You're expecting Luka. Mm-hmm. You know, the expectations there is for him to get back to the finals. You're expecting Jokic to do what he does. You know, you're expecting Tatum to respond to what happened over the summer. But Ja Morant, it feels like everyone's forgotten about him and those expectations aren't there. So he could be a dark horse for the MVP race this season.
It could be. No one doubted. And again, because I love defense. If I'm going to build a championship, I'm going to be able to stop the other team, because you can't win a championship. You know, and Scott has won a championship, Mo, and you're going to build a team. One of the things that you have to do if you're going to win a championship, you have to get a stop late in the game.
So let me ask you this.
I'm going to say this, and then Evan Mobley, to me, as a center, I think he's a championship caliber player. Because defensively, I think he could be elite, especially in today's game, because he can switch screen roles.
Well, let's hope he gets out of Cleveland, because they've just re-signed Jarrett Allen. So we're not going to see him as a center for the next 4 years.
Unless
they trade him.
They're going to trade. I think that is a good move for them to sign him, because now, as they would say, Scott knows the terminology, gives him cap flexibility.
it's a cap-friendly contract. It's a contract that, given his ability, given his character, that you can move that contract. Again, I don't know where they stand with that. You know, the head coach there, the new head coach, Kenny Atkinson, was really pivotal in Jared Allen's early development.
He was an all-star with him.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my guess is he's going to want to, you know, at least start out with him and really see how he's doing, where he's at, because again, I know coaches like working with players that understand them, know their system, and vice versa. So it'll be interesting to see if and when they get to that point that BJ is talking about, potentially trading them and then putting Evan Mobley at
the five. I've just got one question then, BJ, for your top 10 list. When I look at the list, 9 of your 10 players we know can play defense. There's just one name in there that we've seen him play defense for one game in the NBA Finals, the only game his team won, and that's Luka Doncic. How would you, if you were running the team, how would you convince him to buy in and play defense on a nightly basis?
Well, there's no convincing. I have to be able here's one of the most valuable lessons I learned as an NBA player. We had a guy who averaged 32 points a night. 32 a night. And then minus that 32, the following year, we won more games without him in the regular season. Luka, this is your decision. We can't win without getting a stop. We can't win. So the one thing that I've learned in constructing a team is that you better have a team that can absorb whatever happens during the course of the year and give yourself a chance to win. That's Luka. Luka has to realize the following. If you want to win a championship, you got to do 3 things. You got to defend, you got to rebound, and you got to share the ball. Now, he gets – what did he average last year? 30 what?
He's at 31, I think. Wasn't he at 31 points, Mo?
Yeah, okay. Last year, Luka Doncic. I'll pull up all the numbers right now.
Luka averaged what last year? There's no convincing. This is what it is. This isn't a convince. If I got to convince you,
34.
He averaged 34.
Oh, wow. 34, so 9, and 10.
Okay, so if I got to convince you to win a championship, then that's probably not a championship caliber team. Okay? Yeah. I'm convincing you. Hey, Scott. Hey, man, you got to do this or else we won't win. You're like, no, I don't feel like doing that. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not what it is. Everyone's got to be committed with a unified thought. This is what we're doing here. And everybody's got to do what they got to do. I'm not asking you to sacrifice. I'm asking you to average 36 if you can. I'm asking you to average 40. I don't believe in that philosophy of sacrificing. No, just give me what was needed to get the job done. I'm not buying into the sacrificing thing. Oh man, I got to sacrifice for the better of the team. No, if we playing defense, we're gonna get more possession. If we play more defense, hey Scott, if we play a good defense, there's less plays called. Hey, we play defense because we didn't want to have a run a set offense. And Scott knows I love offense. But my greatest motivation, hey, I got a better chance playing with a guy who averages 30 points a game on a 3-on-1 break than we running a set play for him in the half court. Because the set play, I know I wasn't getting the ball. He might pass me the ball on the 3-on-1 break because he couldn't get there. Hey, by the way, those 15 points a game, I didn't have a play the entire year. Bo, I averaged double figures in this league without a play. I played my whole career without a play. There was no set play where I had an ISO. There was no set play where this is his shot. So I learned that I had to play defense to do two things. One, I had to give myself a chance to win. That was my commitment. Two, because I love to play and I like to put the ball in the basket. You know, George Gervin said it. You know, you got to move the scoreboard. So how could I get involved? I had to play defense to do it. I had to. So, Luca, I want you to average 40 a night. I want you to average 40. 40, average 45 if you can. But how can we do that without getting extra possessions? Well, we got to get steals. We got to get out in transition. We got to get as many uncontested shots as we possibly can. That's how you win. That's how you win in this league. If you're taking tough shots, in theory, you should shoot a lower percentage shooting contested shots as compared to uncontested shots. So that's what I would do. Hey, let's get out and do it. The ball is going to find the best player's hands, no matter what.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, we'll be back with more tomorrow talking about the NBA. In the meantime, make sure that you pre-order your copy of NBA 2K25 and subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast from. That's all for myself, 87 Raid, Mr. BJ Armstrong, and Mr. Scott Perry.
Exactly. Mo, when you tell the audience to get buckets tonight, I want you to tell them to get buckets off the window. Off the game. Exactly.
well, it's funny because we recorded the show today on Monday the 26th, and it was what we call a bank holiday here in the UK. It's a day where everything's closed. All the banks are closed, all the shops are closed. The bank holiday don't apply to me.
Exactly.
There's no where I live, there ain't no bank holidays.
Exactly.
Because the bank stays open every day. And much like me in my Instagram video, until next time, get buckets.